This is where we learned what we are doing today, and we're so thankful for this house. You know, I was thinking about Calvary Cathedral today and all that's going on, and of course, we came to celebrate our second grandson's graduation from kindergarten, and we were just thrilled to see such a great program here, and I was just thinking about the academy and what kind of quality education that you can have for your children right here. And I was thinking, you know, I was just sitting there thinking, I thought, you know, if I was back in Fort Worth and had children, I'd work two jobs to put my children in the academy. And then I remembered I did work two jobs to put my children in the academy when we first started. That's how much we valued Christian education. You can never go wrong putting your kids in Christian education. And then we have an awesome Bible school here. And I understand that there's going to be a graduation coming up pretty soon, and a friend of ours, David Chisholm, and my wife and I, and we all graduated from this same Bible school, and God's just using our ministries in great and mighty ways. But you know, what's important to God needs to be important to us. And Psalms 11:3 says that if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteousness do? I really believe that one of the strongest foundations in the kingdom of God is the local church, your local church. And you know, that foundation is strengthened not by the leadership of the house necessarily as much as it is the fellowship of the house. Adding value to this house, adding value to the leadership of this house. You said, well, you know, we already received an offering. I'm not talking about financial value. I'm talking about, you know, spiritual value, your prayers. Yes. You know, the word says the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And when I did a study on that, I found out that because you are in right standing with God, your prayers are so effective, they make everything that God has available to you. And so, you know, you may think, well, there's not much going on, you know, when I pray. There's a whole lot going on when you pray. You know, a nice smile, just sometimes coming and participating, adds value to the house. You know, every time you can, you know, I would encourage you, be a part of the services that are going on here. You know, one word can change your life. One word can take you around the world. You never know when God's going to give that one word, and you need to be ready for it. You know, pastors are a caretaker of God's sheep, and in today's culture, there are so many voices out there. I can't keep up with all the social media, you know, all the, you know, of course, you know, I do a little bit of Facebook, but there's Twitter. Did I say that right? I called it Tweeter one time. I said, everybody needs to get on Tweeter and twit me, and it didn't work out quite right. But, and there's all these other social medias out there, and there's all these other wonderful, you know, men and women who are using these social medias to minister and get the word out, and I'm thankful for it. But there's nothing better than you can have in your life than your own personal pastor. And you know, our job, according to Ephesians 4:11, is to equip you to do the work. And you know, some of you are just so hungry and you're so ready to get out there and do something. Well, 10 more souls will get us over that 100,000 mark. Amen? Isn't that awesome? You can get out, you know, anybody can win people to the Lord just by sharing your testimony. You know, there's other things you can do, but again, just, you know, ask God what you could do to add value to the house and to the leadership of the house. You know, if there wasn't a local church, there'd be no Christian schools. There'd be no traveling ministers to have a place to share. You know, sometimes I have these traveling ministers call me, and I'm sure they call Pastor Bob, and you know that, well, brother, you need to turn your pulpit over to me every Sunday is probably what they like for me to do. But you know, if there was no church, there'd be no place for them to come and minister. And so the local church is important, and your pastor is very important. And I encourage you, again, add value to that. There'd be no special music. There'd be no opportunity for people to develop their gifts. And when I first came here in 1983, Glenn Tidwell was 10 years old.
Wow.
You know, he told me the Texas Rangers are better than the Kansas City Royals. They didn't beat him that year, but that's all right. But my point is, Glenn grew up here. He had that opportunity. Look what an asset he is to this church and to the school. And many of you, I look around that God gave you an opportunity. It's because the local church gave you that opportunity to identify your gifts and use your gifting. And so part of your gifting is to put value back into the local church. There'd be no Bible school. There'd be no counseling. There'd be no weddings. And this goes on. The local church is so important. I just want to encourage you. And that's why we need to put value in our local church and add value to the local pastors, especially the ones that have stayed the course for 52 years. Such an example to all of us. You know, Vicki and I have been doing this for 19 years, and you know, some people have asked us, how long are you going to stay in Columbia? I said, well, if my spiritual DNA is like my spiritual father, I'm here until Jesus comes back. Amen? Glory to God. I understand that someone encouraged you this last Sunday and let you know that you got the power. You got the power? Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. You ready to activate that power? You ready to get out there and see more of that power? Glory to God. Give the Lord one more shot, would you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles opening with me to Genesis chapter 26. And as you do, would you just say this with me? Tonight, I receive the Word of God to profit me, to reproof me, to convict me, and instruct me to righteousness, that I may become perfect and thoroughly furnished on all good works. You just quoted 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Have your Bibles open with me to Genesis chapter 26. We had a divine assignment given to our church here recently, that we should read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 for the next 30 days. And boy, I want to let you know, that's just getting into us. Word of God says that if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, all of these blessings shall come upon you. Yes. You shall be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. You shall be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You shall see your enemy come against you one way, and you shall see him flee seven different ways. I was praying about that one day, and I said, Lord, how can you take one and divide it into seven? But what the Lord showed me, he says, every time the enemy comes against you one way, I have seven different ways for you to overcome him. Wow. Seven different ways to overcome him. Amen. And everything you put your hands to shall prosper. And so, you know, as you diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. And here Isaac in chapter 26 of Genesis, he got a word from the Lord. There was a second famine. Well, the first one was pretty tough. But he had a good example to follow, and that was his own father, Abraham, in that first famine. And so they had this major famine, and Isaac thought about it for a little bit. Should I go to Egypt? Should I go somewhere else? What should I do? And he got a word from God. And that word was, stay right where you're at. Sometimes God will have you stay during a difficult time because there's a greater outcome in the latter time. Hallelujah. So it says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, live in the land which I shall tell you, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants. See, your obedience is not just going to cause the blessing of God come to your life, but your obedience will also make a way for the blessing to work in your children's life and your children's children's life and your children's children's life. You know, God says, I'll visit the generation of the righteous to 1,000 generations. Glory to God. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Excuse me. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she's my sister. For he was afraid to say she was my wife, because she was just like my wife, beautiful to behold. Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she was so beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass that after he'd been there a long time, say long time, how long is a long time? A long time is so long that you just feel like, can I take it one more day to be here? That's a long time. You know, for some people, a long time's a week. For my grandchildren, a long time is about 30 seconds. Come on, Big Pop. What's taking you so long? When are you going to get here, Mimi? How long is it going to take you? But you know, a long time has different definitions to other people, but really a long time is to the place where you just feel like you can't endure one more day or one more hour without some type of breakthrough. Right. Yeah. And so Isaac got a word from God. Isaac, if you stay here, you'll be blessed. But it certainly didn't look like the blessing was working because it was a long time. Well, after a long time, it says, and it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through the window and saw there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. And so Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife, and how could you say, she's my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man's wife will be surely put to death. Well, in order for the blessing to work in Isaac's life, number one, he had to wait patiently. And number two, he had to overcome his own mistakes. I just want to let you know, men, and those of you who are going to get married, it's a mistake to tell people that your wife is your sister when she's really your wife. That's good marriage counseling. But that's a mistake. She is your wife. But you know, one of the things Isaac had to do is he had to face authority and be confronted with his mistakes. And that's where a lot of people cave. I made a mistake. I'll never prosper here. I'll never make it because I just made too many mistakes. But I want to let you know that failure is not a person. Failure is an event. And God's a champion at making champions out of people who have failed. God's a champion at making champions out of people who have failed. So don't let your mistakes hinder your destiny. It's only a mistake. Don't let it cause you to feel like you have to run and hide. Because 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful and just. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means that once you confess that sin, God has forgiven you, but he's not only forgiven you, but he has cleansed you. He has removed from you the guilt of that sin. That's why Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And see, that flesh wants to remind you of how unworthy you are. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin to become sin so that you may become the righteousness of God. You are in right standing with God, not because of your mistakes or your lack of mistakes, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross at Calvary. Somebody give him praise right now. He puts you in right standing. That's why John 1:12 says, as many as received him, he gave them the power. And that word power means right. He gave them the power to be called the sons of God. In other words, God says, you have the right. You are in a new kingdom, and you have different rights in this kingdom than you had when you were in the kingdom of darkness. Because sin will keep you in bondage, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. He's already made you free. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm free. Well, just say it anyway, because he gave you the right to be free. Amen? Glory to God. To be successful, to be an overcomer in this life. So you say to your past, goodbye, you're not a part of me anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, and glory to God, all things have become new again. So Isaac had to overcome his mistakes. Secondly, Isaac had to have patience, didn't we? We saw that long time. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing this. See, there's a purpose. You know, I can handle things better when I know there's a purpose. I can handle. Sometimes it's when I don't know the purpose. You know, you have to trust God when you know the purpose and when you don't know the purpose. But I can handle things when I know the purpose. And I know that when I fall in divers temptation, it says, know this, that to try in my faith produces patience. And it says, let patience have its perfect work, you being entire, wanting nothing. Other words, that going through this trial and tribulation gives me an opportunity to see God show off his goodness. Amen. Has nothing to do with me, but has everything to do with his ability. Am I going to trust God or am I not going to trust God? Am I going to give in to my own ability and try to figure this out myself, or am I going to rest in the Lord? I know something Pastor Bob used to say years ago, and if he's not saying it now, I encourage him to say it, but he used to always say, make it difficult on God and easy on yourself. Why? Because according to his divine power, he has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. All you need to do is say, as a child, I'll receive that. In fact, in Mark 11:22, when it says, have faith in God, what Jesus was really doing to the disciples, he was actually breathing by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit into the disciples, the faith of God. He said, have the faith of God. That's what he said. Have the faith of God. And then he went on to say, verily I say unto you pastors. That's not what he said. Come on, folks, help me a little bit. He said, verily, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he's been saying, he shall have those things he's been saying. So therefore, when you pray, believe those things which you have been saying, and you shall have those things which you've been saying, or you shall receive. And that word receive, the best layman term for the word receive is, I take it. Now, I'm not there yet, but if I had an endless amount of money, like I said, I'm not there yet. But if I had an endless amount of money, and you knew I had an endless amount of money, and I came here and I said, you know, I'm passing out $100 bills. How many of you would sit there and say, well, you know, I'm just not worthy. I didn't earn that $100 bill. Huh? Or how many of you would be, you know, jumping over the pews and trying to stuff as many $100 bills in your pocket as you can? I would. And see, we have that old mental or mold mentality of, I didn't earn it, I'm just not good enough. You know, you didn't earn your salvation. And you don't earn the blessings of God. It's the goodness of God that wants to bless you. So Isaac had to wait. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says that we have need of endurance. Don't cast away your confidence. But we have need of endurance. We have need. There's a purpose for waiting. And in that purpose, we're being more developed to be like Him. You know, the older I get, the more I know God's for me. Amen? Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Well, then it goes on, it says in, here in verse 12, and Isaac sowed in that land. It's not how much you sow, it's just the fact that you keep on sowing. And God's not as interested in the quantity as much as He is interested in the quality. That's why when Charlie said, you know, he knew how many mites that widow woman gave. He said she gave all that she had. You guys gave out of your abundance. She gave all that she had. Why could that widow give all of she had? Why could that widow give her last two mites? Because she knew the saving power of her God. She knew God was going to take care of her. She knew God was going to meet her needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. She knew these things. And so Isaac, he sowed in time of famine. And the Bible says here that in that same year, say in that same year, he reaped 100-fold and the Lord blessed him. And verse 13 says, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. But see, he had to overcome a few things before that started happening. Well, he became prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, a great number of servants, so that the Philistines envied him. In fact, according to Jewish history, their accounts say that Isaac prospered so much that he was worth more than the kingdom that Abimelech was over. He could take care of the national debt. He was a very wealthy, wealthy man. And so the Philistines, not just as people, but as leadership, became envy of him. I just want to let you know that there are times that people get upset with your prosperity. There are times when people get upset when you're successful and they're not. I often say that people criticize you for two reasons. They'll criticize you for being a failure, and they'll criticize you for being a success. So since people are going to criticize you, you might as well be a success. Amen? So Isaac sowed, he reaped, he began to prosper. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. Go away from us. Well, the other thing that Isaac had to do to remain in a blessing was overcome rejection. You know, none of us like to be rejected. It's not fun. But I want to let you know that he was rejected so that you can be accepted. You know, the other day I was given an altar call, and this came right out of my spirit. And I've witnessed and I've led a lot of people to the Lord myself, but, you know, this came right out of my spirit, and I've done this when I've led people to the Lord. Someone said, well, I'm just not ready. I said, you're not, but God is, because He's always committed to you. What you're really saying is that I'm not ready to be committed to God, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to be saved. That doesn't mean that you can't accept the Lord and get saved. Just because you're not willing or you're not ready to commit to church or you're not ready to commit to the things of God, just come to Him. That's why Acts 3:19 says, repent. Come to Him. And your sins will be blotted out and times of refreshing will come upon you. He will convert you and blot out your sins and times of refreshing will come upon you. See, most people are ready to get saved, but a lot of people aren't ready to commit, and I understand that. But once they get saved and they start tasting the goodness of God, then they're ready to say, I'm coming to that spiritual dinner every time the doors are open. But you know, When it comes to sowing, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. And a lot of times when there's seasons of sowing and sowing and sowing, and sometimes you think, dear Lord, is there ever going to be a breakthrough? I want to let you know that that breakthrough already started the moment that you sowed. It is on its way. Your miracle is in motion. God's plan for your life is in motion. So Isaac sowed, and he had to overcome rejection. Well, like I said, it's not fun to have to deal with rejection. And it goes on. So he departed from there, pitched his tent in the Valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the name of which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water's ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. And so they dug another well. Tell your neighbor to dig another well. See, Isaac learned something from his father, because obviously when Abraham and Lot's herdsmen got in strife, Abraham came to him and said, Lot, let there be no strife. Let there be no strife. In fact, Abraham had confidence in God. Lot didn't. And Abraham said, I'll tell you what, in order for there to be no strife, he said, let's look at all the countryside here, and Lot, you pick the best, and I'll trust God with the rest. And who was blessed? Abraham was. Isaac learned that lesson. He knew the power of walking away from strife. Because, see, strife will drain your life. It will take away from the very substance of who God really wants you to be when you're in strife. A lot of times when married couples come for counseling and they're having financial problems, we ask, is there strife in your home? Strife will stop the finances from flowing in your life. Why should we spend more time trying to get back what really rightfully belongs to us when we can just go dig another well? More people spend more time trying to get back what they believe it belongs to theirs instead of trusting God to get something better. My Bible says, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay you all. You don't have to fight for it. Let God fight your battle. Just go dig another well. Tell your neighbor to dig another well. Just go dig another well. Use the power of God to move on, not stay in a place where you're uncomfortable. How uncomfortable would that be for you to be there and you're in strife with these herdsmen? Well, again, according to Jewish history, one of the things that, because Isaac found water during famine, that the fruit trees begin to bud and grow and produce because the blessing of the Lord was on him. And see, the blessing of the Lord's on you too, but you have to guard that by not letting strife get into your life. Let there be no strife. So Isaac's servants and he went out and found another well, and they dug it up, unstopped it. Yeah. Just like the enemy to try to stop things up. But they unstopped it. Sure enough, they struck water. And here come the Philistines' herdsmen. That's our water too. That's a second well. I don't know about you, but you know, I'd become a little irritated about that time, wouldn't you? But not Isaac. Isaac looked at his servants, he smiled real big, said, let him have it, because the blessing of the Lord's on my life. God gave me a word. God gave you a word. Deuteronomy 28, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, all of these blessings shall come upon you. Psalm 68 says, and he loads you daily with benefits. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm not saying this anymore. I receive it by faith. I'm saying it like this. I'm taking it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm taking it. I'm taking God's blessings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll go ahead and be the head and not the tail. I'll be above only and not beneath. I'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And everything that I put my hands to shall prosper. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the blessing of the Lord. Waking up every day and saying, God, what do you have for me today? Hallelujah. Something special. So he had to dig another well. Tell your neighbor, dig another well. You know, God's giving you the ability to move on. Go dig another well. Amen. If they want it that bad, let them have it. Bless it. Sow it into their lives. So they went and dug another well. They got a little further away from Gera and dug another well. About that time, all those fruit trees that was going on around the kingdom of Gera and stuff, they began to dry up because the blessing, they ran the blessing off. It's exactly what they did when they ran Isaac off. They ran the blessing off. And so they figured it out pretty quick, and they came back to Isaac and they said, you know what? We realize that the blessing of the Lord's on your life. See, when you do right, the whole world will see the glory of God in your life. And so they came to him and they said, you know, we never did you any harm. No, you just asked me to leave. Took a couple of my wells, but you know, you didn't do me any harm. But you know, Isaac didn't bring that up. They said, let's make a covenant. Isaac said, okay, I'll help you out. What did Jesus say? He said, it used to be eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but I say unto you, do good unto those who don't do good unto you. Love your enemies. You know, isn't that a hard thing to do? You know, I still want to take Luke chapter 17 and just mark some of that out of my Bible. It says it's impossible that offenses won't come. It says when your brother comes, you know, sins against you, forgive him seven times, you know, in a day. And one of the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You know, and when I first saw that, I thought, you silly disciples, why are you asking the Lord to increase your faith when it comes to, you know, forgiving someone or living an offense-free life? Well, I want to let you know, it takes just as much faith to live an offense-free life, live a life without strife, as it does to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Can I go a little longer? Just a little longer. Can I stay on that scripture just a little longer? Jesus went on to say, he said, look, guys, if you have the faith of a seed of a mustard grain, you can say to this, many translations use different trees in there like mulberries, but the real right translation is sycamine tree. And the reason why that's so important is because the sycamine tree was a tree that coffers used to make coffins out of. And see, if you don't deal with the offense will deal with you and eventually bury you. It will take you to the undertaker. Secondly, the sycamine tree had some of the deepest roots of all the native trees in that area, and they thrived in parched, dry areas. And he said, if you have the faith of a seed of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this root, and see, those offenses, if you don't deal with them, will become a root of bitterness. That's why you have to say, when that thing comes, immediately you have to say, I refuse to be offended. I choose to walk away from strife. Well, then the third thing is about the sycamine tree is that you could eat the fruit from the sycamine. It was a poor man's fruit, and people did harvest, didn't eat it. But in order to eat it, you had to chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it before you could swallow it. This is what happens with people who get offended and get involved in strife. They live it and rehearse it and talk about it and rehearse it until it becomes a part of them. He said, but if you'll say be cast into the sea, and this particular sea he was referring to was saltwater sea, Why? See, because living plants, earth plants, do not live in seawater. In fact, the seawater completely dissolves them as if they never existed. That's what seawater does to plants, you know, ground plants. It just dissolves it as if it never existed. And that's why he said, say to it, be cast into the sea. In other words, I command you to be dissolved and not ever have memory of you again. Amen? So Isaac, he learned to walk away from strife. And so he made this covenant with Abimelech. And I tell you what, then his servants came and said, you know, while you were making a covenant with Abimelech, we dug a fourth well. And it was the mother load. It was the well of all wells. And you know what Isaac said? See if I can find it here real quick. I bet I can. Verse 32, and it came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug and said to him, we have found water. So they called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And one of the things that Isaac said about it, and I can't find it right here. Maybe it's past that. Let's see. Just can't seem to find it. But he basically said, we have enough water for all of us. In other words, there was enough water for them and their enemies. Amen? But it was there. It was Isaac's obedience. And the whole crux of this message is this. That is, you might be where God wants you to be, and things may not be going the way you want them to go. But just go dig another well. Don't run from your mistakes. We all make mistakes. You know, I tell my staff when they tell me they made a mistake, it means someone's doing something. It's what a mistake is. You know, when no one's making a mistake, I'm wondering if they're getting, you know, if they're really working. People make mistakes. We're human. But God can fix our mistakes. Don't run from your mistakes. Run to God when you make a mistake and let God fix that mistake.
Hallelujah.
Don't fear rejection. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to think that, you know, you're the cat's meow. But that's just life. You know, not everybody's going to get along with you at the workplace. Sometimes they're going to be jealous of you because you have such a good attitude. Well, of course you do. You attend Calvary Cathedral. How could you not have a good attitude? Amen? This good preaching that you hear every Sunday and every Wednesday night, no wonder you have a good attitude. They start coming to this church, they'd have a good attitude too. But not everybody's going to like you. It's just the way it is. They have different opinions. They have different ideology. You know, not everybody can be right like you. So there is rejection. We have to deal with it. But you know what? Jesus bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. And when that rejection begins to hurt and bring pain, you go to him and say, Lord, I understand that you healed the brokenhearted. Would you heal my heart one more time?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Be patient. You know that the Word of God tells us that as we dwell on those things which are pure and lovely, true, honest, we also need to dwell on those things that give us strength. That's what virtue means. Give us the power. That word virtue means power. That gives us power, those things that empower us. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts. Don't dwell on those things that have come against you, but dwell on those things which are pure and lovely. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, it says like this. It says, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Being ready to punish, and I think the King James says revenge, but being ready to punish disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And that word punish and that word revenge, as I finish up this message tonight, means to annihilate as if it never existed. And I just want to encourage you that your one act of disobedience wipes out all of the disobedience that you ever walked through in your entire life. And that's the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to worry about your disobedience anymore. What you need to do is cry out to God and say, God, show me the way. Show me the way. Because I want to be in your perfect will. You can't pray any better prayer than praying, Thy kingdom come, Lord God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Did you get something out of the Word of God tonight? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.